Hello, everybody, and welcome to the All Access version of the ProWrestling.net podcast. Today is Sunday, June 20th, 2010. My name is Rich Twilling, and on the show, I will recap the fantastic ROH Death Before Dishonor 8 internet pay-per-view, featuring what I think is the match of the year thus far, Tyler Black versus Davey Richards. But we'll begin with some WWE talk, starting with Friday's SmackDown and continuing into today. It's early. It's early on the West Coast. Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. But before I do, I want to wish everybody Happy Father's Day, or at least Happy Father's Day to those of you it applies to. So hopefully all you dads out there have a great day today. And actually, while I'm at it, and it's been kind of a busy weekend for the genre, but congratulations go out to Court McGee, who became the 11th Ultimate Fighter. He won the Ultimate Fighter 11 by defeating Chris McCray in Las Vegas on Saturday night. So that also took place, and those results are on the website now. So go over there to check those out. But today we'll start with WWE SmackDown on Friday. And real quick, for those of you who didn't see the ROH pay-per-view, normally I'd start with that. But I'll get into that a little bit later, as it was a very, very good show, capped off by a very good main event, and I look forward to talking about that. So if you're not familiar with the ROH product, or if you missed the show, make sure to stick around for that recap. But let's back up a couple days now to Friday's SmackDown show, which took place in Raleigh, North Carolina. And basically, it's kind of a two-trick pony right now on SmackDown. And for me, too, you have, when you have a go-home show for a pay-per-view, normally that's kind of when everything is thrown at you at the last minute to get you to try and order the show. But it's kind of a catch-22 with SmackDown, because Raw is the A show. It's got, well, you could say, most of the main event talent, or a lot of it at least. And it's a show that more people watch and has more viewership and all of that. So generally on a go-home show on Raw, you're going to get the big push for the pay-per-view, and then SmackDown comes in with whatever they're contributing to the pay-per-view. So this was WWE's last chance, and they had their four-way to sell. And then the big angle, I guess you could say, going into the show was the Teddy Long versus Drew McIntyre one-on-one match, and the catch there being if Teddy backed out, he would be fired by Vince McMahon. And the thing with what's funny about that, too, is if Teddy could, say, get fired for having a really scared look on his face, I think he's got that look down pat, so it's kind of like the old acting class where, okay, we're going to give you some commands, and then you need to have that look on your face. And for Teddy, it's like, you know, about to piss your pants. And then he's like, you know. So Teddy Long didn't look too happy about facing Drew McIntyre, but he actually came out of that pretty unscathed. But I'll get to that in a moment. This show was bookmarked by the four men that are going to participate in the World Heavyweight Championship match of the pay-per-view, and that, of course, is champion Jack Swagger, CM Punk, Rey Mysterio, and The Big Show. And then kind of lurking on the outside, there's Kane, who is still trying to figure out who took out his brother, The Undertaker, and put him in a vegetative state. I think that's the new buzz phrase in WWE right now, or at least on SmackDown. But the show opened up with a CM Punk promo, in which he said, whoever turns out to be the people or the person or people that attacked The Undertaker, he would be the first one to shake their hand. So to me, that eliminated the NXT crew, because if they took out The Undertaker, it'd be kind of awkward for Punk to shake their hand because they took out Punk a couple weeks ago. So let's throw them out the window. But a good promo from Punk, in which case The Undertaker, quote-unquote, appeared in the ring, but obviously it wasn't him, especially since the camera showed him from behind. It turned out to be Luke Gallows, and Punk and Gallows had a big laugh about it. Kane didn't think it was so funny, and he came out and then was beat down by the Straight Edge Society, including Joey Matthews, who was in there, or Joey Mercury, whatever he's going to go by this time around. And the save, oddly enough, was made by Rey Mysterio and the Big Show. And they came out. And after they ran off the heels, Mysterio hit a 619, and then Show hit a chokeslam on Kane, which, to me, kind of tied the whole thing together nicely. A nice opening angle. And Big Show made it a point. He got down in Kane's face, and he said, "For the last time, I'm not involved with what happened to your brother, and I had nothing to do with it." So, and it's funny, because it seems like Kane thinks that he knows, but he just goes ahead and attacks everybody. So, he's all over the place right now. As has been the case with SmackDown a lot lately, you get what is generally a pretty strong angle at the beginning of the show, something similar at the end of the show, and the middle of the show is a lot of filler, and this show is no different. Real quickly, going through the matches, the first one was Curt Hawkins and Vance Archer defeating MVP and Christian. One thing about that team, Hawkins and Archer, look out for them, because I think, especially with the tag team situation in WWE, which right now is weak at best, I guess you could say, if you could put a team together and generate any kind of momentum, you have a chance. You have an opportunity to win titles, be on pay-per-views, become a little more high profile. So it's never long lived, but at least you get yourself out there in a little bit, which Curt Hawkins knows from experience, because him and Zack Ryder used to be tag team champions back when they were running with Edge and Vicky. So Curt Hawkins knows that better than anybody. So look out for that team. Moving on, you had a JTG defeating Chavo Guerrero. Not much. Obviously, that has nothing to do with the pay-per-view and really has nothing to do with anything. So, but it was in there. And then, and also throughout the show, they were hyping some Drew McIntyre moments and kind of going through the history between himself and Teddy Long, which they did a nice job with if you're into the program, which I'm guessing most people probably aren't. McIntyre just isn't as over as I think Vince McMahon wants him to be or thought he would be. But, and also, let's look at it from the other side too. I don't think enough people care about Teddy Long to care whether or not he loses his job and he's no longer on SmackDown. So this one kind of left a lot to be desired, but it was interesting enough to keep the viewer, at least, or it did for me. Of course, I watch anyway, but we had Drew McIntyre defeating Teddy Long in 10 seconds, and what we did here was the whole humiliation tactics kind of reminded me of when Vince McMahon made Trish Stratus bark like a dog. And when Drew had Kofi get down on, or I'm sorry, when Drew had Teddy get down on his knees, I thought that's what was coming. But instead, he just had him say something like, "You're the chosen one, Drew," this and that. And then he had him lay down for the pin. And honestly, if you're watching that, if you're Teddy Long's family and you're watching that, sure, you know, dad got humiliated a little bit, but big deal. I mean, he didn't get his ass kicked. And he kept his job. So, for me, I thought Teddy got out of that pretty unscathed. And afterwards, Kofi Kingston came out, but Drew had a security team that had come out earlier, and they held Kofi back. But there weren't enough of them for Matt Hardy, who then beat up on Drew. So, security did their job, and then Drew laid both of them out, both Kofi and Matt Hardy. So, you know, not bad, I guess, but let's face it, guys, it's Drew McIntyre and Teddy Long. We're not exactly talking about Steve Austin and Vince McMahon here, but not bad. And this led to the announcement that Drew McIntyre would get an Intercontinental Championship match with Kofi Kingston at the pay-per-view on Sunday, so, or today. Where I am, by the way, it's about 4:45 in the morning, so. And I'm in that mindset, or at least I always have been, where if I haven't gone to sleep yet and it's still dark out, then it's nighttime. So if I say tomorrow, I'm actually referring to today, Sunday. So moving on a little bit, We had Kelly Kelly defeating Layla. Oh, and real quick, I have to say this. The Layla-Michelle McCool tag team, I wouldn't mind them so much as the Beautiful People knockoff if they didn't open their mouths. But the whole act with the Valley Girl talking or whatever it is they're doing is annoying as hell. And I would never advocate man-on-woman violence, but I mean, if Cabal wanted to take a shot at one of the two or both, I don't think anybody would mind that too much. Obviously, we're not going to see that on a PG show, and obviously I'm not being serious, but I'm just saying, they're just an annoying tag team. But I'll go as far as to say they're the good kind of annoying because you want to see them get their ass kicked. I'm just throwing this out there. Say this act is still going around the time that Awesome Kong's No Compete with TNA runs out. I would think that Awesome Kong would be the perfect person to come in and not put up with their BS and just kick the crap out of both of them. Just throwing that out there, WWE, but that I would love to see. But until that, or if we ever get that, right now we have Kelly Kelly and Tiffany, who seem to be feuding with, and I'm guessing in Kelly's case, we could see her win the women's championship, or one of the two of them, or both of them. I don't know how that works, but don't be too surprised to see Kelly with the women's title not too long from now. Dolph Ziggler defeated Chris Masters in a match. I guess for Dolph, being with Vicky Guerrero is not a bad thing, because at least they're putting some thought into him, but it didn't work so well for the last guy she was with. Ask Eric Escobar about that, but I don't see the appeal of Vicky Guerrero, and I'm talking about her character now. I'm talking about why all these guys would want to be with her. She's not good looking, and she has a terrible track record in relationships, and she's a bitch. I don't know about you, but that's not exactly, yeah, I want to go out with her type material. So, but we'll see what happens with Dolph Ziggler. I received a question about that on the members' exclusive Q&A. And I'm behind Ziggler. I'd like to see them do more with him. I was disappointed when he didn't get a run with the Intercontinental Championship last year. But I guess this is better than nothing. This is better than screwing around with Hornswoggle, which he actually did on this show. But I conveniently skipped over that. And then main event time, which was your formula tag team match with the faces versus the heels of the four that are going to compete in Sunday's main event, or SmackDown main event. You had Mysterio and Big Show defeating Punk and Ed, or Swagger, excuse me, in about 10 minutes. And the match itself was, like I said, it was formula. There was nothing that really jumped out or anything like that. But afterwards is when it got interesting, I guess you could say, with Kane coming out to the ring. And the visual was kind of cool. You had Kane in the ring, and because of damage done during the match and because of a couple of things that Kane did, you had all four members of that championship match on each side of the ring laid out on the outside. So a nice visual there. And then Kane dropped the bomb, I guess you could say, that on Sunday he was going to, I can't remember the exact verbiage that he used, but he basically said he was going to take out the person that took out his brother, and he was going to do that on Sunday, and they kind of insinuated that it was one of the four, but as we know, and as we could have guessed the second that they started this angle, it looks like it's going to be Kane himself. I really hope that it's not, but who knows, it could end up being Kane. Actually, I got an email from a guy saying, you know, what about Paul Bearer? Are they, you know, if it ends up being Kane, why not bring back Paul Bearer? I actually like that idea. If it does end up being Kane, which I don't like that part of it, but if it is him, why not go all the way with it and bring back Bearer and even relive that horrible, horrible match from Judgment Day 2005 with The Undertaker versus the Dudleys? And if you didn't see it, all you got to remember is that Paul Bearer ended up in a cement crypt thing, and he got locked, I don't know, he was buried alive in cement, I guess you could say. So that was the SmackDown show, which leads us in today's, I got it right, Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. And there's five matches on the card, and for me, honestly, it's two things that aren't on the card, two non-matches that are most interesting about this show, and that is the Kane, whoever ended up attacking The Undertaker, and then, based on what happened Monday night, Wade Barrett threw it in at the end of the show that the NXT guys want their contracts by Sunday, so that would lend itself to thinking that they're going to appear at the pay-per-view. I hope, and they didn't do a real good job of this on Raw, but I hope what they do is establish those NXT guys pretty early and then tease the fact that there could be chaos throughout the entire show. Like, the entire show is at risk, and you have that kind of aspect to the show. That's what I'm looking forward to if they go ahead and go in that route. But for me, we have a Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view, and I've been pretty vocal about this, and I'm just not a fan of Fatal 4-Ways. And that's not to say tomorrow's show, or there I go, Sunday's show is going to be bad. And in fact, given how I feel about 4-Way matches, this thing could only exceed my expectations. So it's probably going to end up being a positive, because I'm guessing the title matches will be solid. I don't think there's going to be anything wrong with them, per se. You have, on the Raw side, John Cena defending against Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Edge. I'm guessing that's going to be your main event. Although, with the Kane situation, perhaps they throw the SmackDown match on their last, and then I don't think we see the return of The Undertaker tomorrow by any means, but we would we'll get some answers. And so, and maybe a tease. Maybe the lights go out or something like that. Maybe they end the show on that note. So, who knows. But we have John Cena versus Randy Orton versus Sheamus versus Edge. See, here's the thing with me. With pay-per-view and with any main event or championship match, you got to throw something out there that people want to see. And I just don't think there's people out there saying, man, I would love to see Cena defend this title against three guys. And if I could pick those three guys, they would be bum, bum, bum. And, I don't know, 4-Ways always, they came across to me like they just were throwing out a pay-per-view or throwing out a title match and maybe getting a couple of people into a title match that normally wouldn't have one. It's not the case here on either side, actually, but I don't know. I guess the card, given what it is, looks stronger than I ever would have thought it could have been, so that's positive, too. But I'd be surprised. They overhauled all the pay-per-views in 2010 and late 2009, and I'd be surprised to see this again next year. I don't see this doing a big buy rate. I don't see it, I don't know, I just don't see it blowing people away, but who knows, it could turn out to be a very good show, and if it is, I'll be back tomorrow night to let people know about it, and, you know, if it's good, I'd be the first one to admit that, hey, you know, I was wrong going into this. I'm not completely saying that this is going to be a terrible show or anything like that. I'm looking forward to it, and there's certain aspects of it I'm looking forward to. It's just, once you jump in the ring with the four guys, that's the part of it that I don't necessarily enjoy. But I will be back today, later on today, with a prediction column, so look out for that. But let's run through it real quick. We have, for the Divas Championship on Raw, it's Eve defending against Maryse, Gail Kim, and Alicia Fox. That one could be interesting. And, oh, real quick, and also, these are 4-way matches that end with the first pinfall or submission, so no elimination rules. That's another thing I don't like. If they're going to do 4-ways, do it elimination style, but that's not what we get. But it is what it is, so you have that for the Divas Championship, and then the two secondary titles are being defended in singles matches. And oddly enough, The Miz versus R-Truth for the United States Championship, The Miz won that championship in a 4-way match this past Monday on Raw, so go figure. we had the four-way on Raw and then the singles match on the pay-per-view. I don't know. But you have that. And this is, that's an interesting one to me because Truth has had some momentum lately. He, in a short period there, he had, I think he had won a match on pay-per-view and then won the title the next night. Or won a match the next night and then won the title the next week. I don't remember the timeline exactly. But needless to say, he's been winning a lot of matches lately. And The Miz winning the title back this past Monday was surprising to me in the sense that I thought Miz was taking a step up and maybe moving out of that United States Championship picture and into something more attractive, I guess you could say. But they put the belt back on him. Do they do the quick switch again? Or is this, is Truth, is his little push over? So it's just, that's interesting in that sense. And then over on SmackDown, you have Kofi defending against Drew McIntyre for the Intercontinental Championship. This thing's been going back and forth. And I think the last time they faced, Kofi beat him pretty quickly. I know Matt Hardy did, but I think Kofi did too. And so Drew doesn't necessarily look real strong going into this thing. I hope they don't pull something where he wins the title in some kind of screwy fashion, because that's kind of been his MO, and that's not great for establishing credibility. So hopefully Drew brings it. I mean, I'd like to see, I was kind of on board with him when he first came in. I didn't think of him as a future world champion, not necessarily at that time. That's hard to say with somebody that's just making his debut and whatnot. Not everybody's a Brock Lesnar or a Kurt Angle, but Drew McIntyre, I thought, had something, and that opinion has changed over time, and maybe tomorrow night is a chance for him, especially on a show with five matches, perhaps it's a chance for him to shine a little bit, and hopefully that happens. So keeping, you know, positive thoughts out for that one, but I think Kofi retains, or at least right now I do. That could change between now and the time I write that column. And then we have Jack Swagger versus Big Show versus CM Punk versus Rey Mysterio. Does anyone think that Punk's ever going to lose that mask before his hair grows back? I'm guessing no, but if so, perhaps it happens tomorrow night. And I'm guessing if one of the world titles changes hands, it's going to be that one. And because I don't see Cena losing in a four-way. But then you could look at it the other way and say, well, that'd be the perfect way to take the title off of Cena because he wouldn't have to take the pin. And so I guess there's a lot of intrigue based on the fact that who knows what's going to happen at the pay-per-view. So you have those five matches, and then you have Kane revealing, hopefully it's not himself, who attacked his brother, The Undertaker. And the NXT guys are going to be in attendance, and they're probably going to cause some havoc with the show. So there's your WWE recap of Friday SmackDown and small preview of tomorrow or today's Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view. And speaking of pay-per-view, let's move on to ROH Death Before Dishonor 8. It took place on Saturday night from Toronto, Ontario, and aired on Internet pay-per-view. And this one, guys and girls, was, and I'm not one of those people that is going to throw out there, you have to see this show or you have to see this match, but yeah, this would be one to go see. So watch it on internet pay-per-view if you can get a later feed or something like that. I don't know if they do that, to be honest, but definitely something you'd want to get your eyes on. And if that time passes, then when the DVD comes out, this was definitely a good show. And I'll go through it based on my report. So let's start. The beginning started with what we thought was going to be a tag team match featuring Cheech and Cloudy. They came out, and we thought that's what was going to open the show. But El Generico had other thoughts. He actually ran right by them during their ring entrance. He jumped into the ring, got on the microphone, and just yelled, "Steen, and now." And he wanted Kevin Steen right now. And Steve Corino came out and he, of course, represents Kevin Steen, and he came out in a black suit, and he said, "No, no, no, you don't call the shots around here. Myself and Kevin Steen call the shots. And I'm wearing black tonight for your funeral, and it's not going to happen right now because Kevin Steen doesn't wrestle in the opening match. He's all about the main event." Good promo from Carino, but good intensity without being able to do much in terms of not being able to talk or show facial expressions because he wears a mask for Generico. So, solid stuff all the way around to start the show. And also, for me, Kevin Steen versus El Generico, the way that they've built this thing up has been great. And Jason and I have been talking on the .NET Weekly audio show about how ROH has just gained or earned our, or I guess gained, I don't know, but it's become much more interesting lately. And ROH is one of those products where if you love great wrestling, you're always going to have something that will please you. But with their move to HGNet and everything like that, we were looking for a, not a sports entertainment show, but an ROH-style show that had little sprinkles of other things in there. So it wasn't just straight wrestling all the time. And we, the build-up for Steen versus Generico was so well done. So this one, I mean, if you look at this card, you had Black versus Richards, and then you had the Tag Team Championship match with the Kings of Wrestling versus the Briscoes. And even with those two matches on the card, I think a lot of people were pointing at the Steen versus Generico match as kind of the match they were most looking forward to. So this card was pretty loaded, but Kevin Steen ended up coming to the ring, and they went nose to nose, and you could tell the personal animosity just came through both guys, and it was just so well done over the past several months. But Steen jumped on the microphone real quick and just informed Carino without taking his eyes or his face off of El Generico that it was okay, and he wanted to end this now, and we had our opening match. So I thought that was well done because you had what you thought was going to be the opening match, but Generico couldn't wait anymore. Steen was right on board with him. And then the two of them came out to open the show. Hot crowd up in Toronto tonight. They kind of quieted down by match three, but as and I'll get there in a minute, but that was the match that had Austin Aries in it, so anything with A-double is going to be good anyway. So, well done with the placement with the match placement on this card. And I questioned it at first, but it ended up working out pretty well for him. So we had our opening match, Kevin Steen defeating El Generico in 17:42. I really like this one. Great. I mean, like you would expect from the two. And Steen is somebody that he moves around like an X-Division wrestler or a Davey Richards or somebody like that. He moves around so well for a guy his size. And you talk about future world champions in ROH or whatnot. Kevin Steen's got to be at the top of that list or near the top. But you had a great back-and-forth match between the two. Very enjoyable. Crowd was into it. And Steen ended up winning. My one, I guess, problem or my one complaint about the match was the finish, in which Steen was sitting on the top rope. Generico went up there to try and hit a brainbuster, but Steen pulled a wrench. That's what they said it was. That's what it looked like to me, too. And he grabbed a wrench and he hit Generico with it because the referee was temporarily distracted because he got himself involved in some contact, so he turned away for a moment. And then Steen hit a move off the top rope for the win. So very, very good opening match, but you had the foreign object at the end there, and I just, with those two, I guess it would have been difficult to give the clean win, But if they were going to give the screw job win to Steen here, I don't know. I think with Steen promising to, quote, kill Generico and to end his career and everything like that, having him win a match like that and then Generico go to the back and then Steen go to the back afterwards, it was kind of not what he promised. So I would have thought maybe Generico winning and then Steen just taking him out or something like that would have made more sense. But with this, you have Steen, and after the match, Steen made a motion to his waist that he was going after the ROH World Championship. And so you have a situation where he can do that, and then his situation or his program with El Generico is not at all over. Obviously, it's not going to end like that. So we can, and that's another thing, the way this card was booked, there could be a lot of potential rematches out of what we saw tonight, which, based on the quality of the show, would be a good thing. So, a good opener with a questionable finish, but let's focus on the good part of it, in which both guys just absolutely brought it and had a very, very good match to open the show. Moving on, that original opening match, which was the All Night Express, Kenny King and Rhett Titus versus Up in Smoke, Cheech and Cloudy, it took place next. And I thought, I feel bad for these guys because they were going to be the opener. And the crowds always hop for the opener. And then instead, they got Kevin Steen versus El Generico first. And they're really hot for that, but Generico ended up losing. And I thought, oh, crap, they're going to be kind of dead for this one. Not the case at all. They stayed pretty hot. And we had King and Titus defeating Cheech and Cloudy in about 8:42. This one was, it was good. Nothing wrong with it at all. But probably on a show like this, this and maybe the next match were probably going to be forgotten more quickly than others, but a solid work from both teams as expected. And King and Titus right now, I mean, if you look at those guys with, you know, Austin Aries with them being as their manager or whatnot, who knows? They could be in line for a title shot relatively soon here, so a solid win for them. And moving on, King and Titus both took turns on the microphone, and they brought out Austin Aries. And then Aries cut a promo as well, saying that he did go too far trying to injure Delirious, and but then he healed it up a little bit, and typical stuff from A-Double. Delirious came out dressed in red, which he normally wears the black and green. When he wears the red, that's when he's really pissed. And that reminds me, too, nice job by the announcers tonight, because I'm sure there's some people watching that don't watch a lot of ROH or maybe have never seen a show before. So there were certain things on the show that would have needed explanation for those people, and the announcers did a nice job of doing so. So we had Delirious defeating Austin Aries by DQ in 13:04. This one was solid stuff. I mean, Austin is Austin, so if you're a fan of his, if you appreciate his work, then you would have been relatively happy with this. Here's another one that wasn't as good as the first match by any means, but it was solid. And then you had an unusually disappointing finish. You had Delirious, I believe, was up on the top ropes, and then that's when King and Titus came down and interfered, and King and Titus had been kicked out by the referee earlier. So they came down, and as soon as they did, referee called for the disqualification, and Rhett Titus pulled down his pants to reveal his, he was wearing a thong, and so you got a nice shot of his ass, if that's your kind of thing. And Delirious then beat the crap out of him, and then he took out Kenny King on the floor as well. Austin and Kenny were out there, and Austin kind of sacrificed Kenny for Delirious, who came down on him. So we had a DQ win for Delirious, who then looked strong afterwards, too. So I guess for him, I mean, that's a pretty good night. So just disappointing that we didn't get a clear-cut winner there. And you still have the post-match attack, so you could have done that. I don't know. I just a couple questionable, I guess you could say, questionable booking decisions early, but they're just minor little nitpicky things on what was a very good show. So let's move on. And our fourth match was the second annual Toronto Gauntlet. And the participants were Roderick Strong, Eddie Edwards, Steve Corino, Tyson Dukes, Sean Daivari, and Colt Cabana. And Roderick Strong won this in 28-24. It was announced, I mean, we knew this, but the announcers made it clear, too, that the winner here would receive a title shot against the winner of the Tyler Black versus Davey Richards match for later in the show. So, order of eliminations goes as follows. Dukes pinned Eddie Edwards. That was a surprise. In 11:04. And then Daivari pinned Dukes at the 16:45 mark. Cabana over Daivari. Actually made him tap with, he made him tap at the 17:45 mark about a minute later. And then, Cabana pinned Steve Corino at 22:44. And then the end of the match came with Truth Martini, who is Strong's manager now. And yeah, if you haven't watched in a while, Roderick Strong's a heel. And he came into the ring while Roderick, I guess, see, the announcers played this up. Did Roderick Strong know that Martini came into the ring and hit Cabana with his whatever that book thing that he carries around? But I mean, I thought it was pretty obvious that Roderick Strong was kind of feigning an injury, and the referee was helping him on the floor, and right when Cabana went down, he slid into the ring and got the three count. So we now have Roderick Strong versus the winner, Tyler Black versus Davey Richards, at a future show. So the next ROH, I mean, at this point of the show, you had the main event for the title, and then after that, you had what will line up to be a very good ROH World Championship match. So nicely done. Let's see, we've got throughout the show, and I think this is the first time I mentioned it, because I didn't think this was going to turn into a show-long angle, but they said that the Briscoes were having some trouble with customs, and they were having trouble, they weren't yet at the building, so playing off of past stuff, but with the show being in Canada, they wanted people to think that they weren't going to appear. Based on what they did with it later, I don't really understand why it was necessary, but they went that route. Intermission videos aired, and this was odd because during the intermission, El Generico and Kevin Steen brawled. They started brawling at ringside. Steve Corino hit the ring. Colt Cabana followed him, and then the locker room emptied. And then Generico took the tie off of ring announcer Bobby Cruz, and WWE and Bryan Danielson fans would have loved this. But Generico sat on the back of Kevin Steen, and he pulled back on his neck, choking him with the tie of Bobby Cruz, and it was exactly the same pictorial, mental image, whatever you want to say. It was exactly the same as Danielson and Justin Roberts, and even Dave Prezak got in on it. He should be fired, and mind you, this was all during the intermission, so if you went to the bathroom, if you went to get something to eat, then you missed out on what was a pretty cool little spot here. Nice segment. And I guess the message is, we're going to have an intermission, but don't go anywhere because something could happen. But afterwards, Generico was cheered heavily by the crowd. Ole, ole, ole chants. And so I guess it kind of wrapped up for the evening, at least, the Generico versus Steen situation. but based on what happened, Steen won the match via screw job, and then, or not really screw job, but he used a foreign object, and then Generico took him out later. So I would say nothing solved between the two, so look forward to a future match between those two. They actually, oddly enough, after this brawl, they went back to the intermission. So, they said, they interrupted the intermission for the brawl that took place. They went back to the intermission, and then they came back to the show about 5 or 6 minutes later with Jim Cornette coming to the ring for a promo. Basic pro ROH promo. Said, Toronto is never cold when ROH comes to town. We give you real wrestling. Thank you so much for supporting us, kind of a thing. So, good promo. Nothing wrong with it. Kind of misplaced, I guess, on a pay-per-view, but nonetheless, it was there. Next match, fifth one of the evening, Christopher Daniels, who is ranked number 2 in the pick 6, defeated Kenny Omega in a pick 6 match in 16-12. And here's another thing where if you're not familiar with the product, then you wouldn't know what the pick 6 is. Real quick, and they explain this, nicely done. You have to be in the top 6 to challenge for the ROH World Championship. If somebody lower than you in the rankings beat you, then they take your spot and you move down one. If somebody outside of the rankings beat you, then he takes your spot, you move down one, and the 6th-ranked guy gets kicked out. So, in this case, you had an unranked Kenny Omega and the 2nd-ranked Christopher Daniels. And so, the number 6-rated wrestler would obviously have some interest in this, too. But at this point, this one was the match of the night up until this point. Here you had, the opener was good. And I guess that one and this one, you can kind of flip them or whatnot, but I actually prefer this one a little bit. 16 minutes, 12 seconds, and they went the whole time, guys. This wasn't any rest holds, no any of that, no pacing themselves for later. And I'm going to use that in the main event too, but really just great match, a lot of near falls. One thing about the near falls tonight I noticed was the referee, the main ref, and his name is slipping my mind right now, but his hand kept coming down for 3, and he was making contact with the mat on that 3rd cadence. So and the fans actually were thrown off, and this happened about 4 times during the pay-per-view. A couple times, I think, during this match. I think it was this match where both guys had both guys had what I thought was a win, because the referee's hand came down for 3, but then he waved it off, and that's just the way that he counts, but I don't know, I think if he did a better job of making sure his hand didn't hit the mat for that 3rd cadence, it would be a little bit better, but very, very good match, Daniels over Omega in 16-12, so he remains where he's at. And Omega, the Canadian crowd was hot for him, and he brought it tonight, too. So, Daniels won with the BME, and up until this point, this was your match of the night. And then we moved on to, we had our 2 title matches left. The Kings of Wrestling came out to the ring, and the announcer actually said that the Briscoes didn't make it into Canada. And we thought, so I'm thinking at this point, God, are they really not there? Because they're really pushing this thing. And the Kings of Wrestling, Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero and Shane Hagedorn were there in the ring, and they were cutting their promo. And it just kept going on and on. So at this point, you knew that the Briscoes were going to show up, or somebody else was going to show up and take that spot. It turned out to be the Briscoes, and there wasn't a lot of fanfare about it. They just came out of the crowd and entered the ring and started beating the crap out of them. And then the bell rang, And about 30 to 45 seconds later, the announcer said that it was going to be a no disqualification match for the title. So we were already into it. But the result, the Kings of Wrestling, Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero with Shane Hagedorn defeated the Briscoes in a no DQ match to retain their ROH Tag Team Championships in 18-11. This one, guys, was brutal, and I mean that in a good way. It was bloody, all four guys bled, and Mark, I think it was Mark early on, yeah, it was Mark, he bled heavily from the forehead, and he, you know, the old school phrase, crimson mask, that was Mark Briscoe in this one, and actually Chris Hero joined him not too long after that. But this one, as opposed to the last time around, this one was brutal. It was hardcore. At one point, Jay Briscoe was tied to the ring post around his neck on the floor. He was tied to the ring post on the floor with the tying apparatus. I don't know what it was, like a rope or something, tied around his neck. And so, yeah, all four guys bled. And as far as no DQ tag team championship matches go, this one is going to be close to the top of your list. It was very good from both sides. Kind of in the middle there, you had what resembled a tag team match. Both guys got on the apron. There were tags. There was wrestling. But for the most part, the bookends, the beginning and the end, were just brutal brawling type moves, but you had the Briscoes brought a table in that never broke, or it broke, but it took a while. They threw, was it Claudio into it first, and then Hero came in, or maybe the other way around, or it was obviously one of the two. And then it didn't break until a double shoulder block knocked Claudio through the table. So, a couple of doomsday devices from each team. The Briscoes hit theirs, though, on Shane Hagedorn. end of the match came, and I actually covered the last two matches a little more in depth. When you're watching an internet pay-per-view, it's kind of hard to have two screens up or two windows up and watch the show and write at the same time. So my live coverage was a little bit different this time around, in which case I just kind of covered it as the match, or when the match ended, and then I sent it to the website, but I was more in-depth and thorough with the sixth and seventh matches on this show. But we had Claudio attempting a UFO, and I think it was Mark, and he rolled him up, he countered out of it, rolled him up for a two. Mark was then hit by Chris Hero's loaded elbow, and surprisingly, he kicked out of that. I didn't think that he would. But then the finish came where Hero put the loaded elbow pad on his foot, and Claudio applied the giant swing, and then Hero kicked, and I think it was Mark at this point, but I could be wrong. Both of them were bloody. But Hero kicked him in the head with the loaded pad on his foot for the win. So, a unique and creative finish in what was just a very non-PG WWE match, or ROH Tag Team Championship match. It's funny because ROH is definitely a unique and different product compared to WWE sports entertainment product. And for those of you that want to take that a step further, and if you protest and downright hate the PG product that is WWE, then you would have loved this. This one was bloody, it was brutal, it was violent, and it was very good. So these two teams showed that they can do the wrestling thing, and they can do the hardcore, just let it all hang out thing. So very good match, but the Kings of Wrestling retain. And which kind of surprised me a little bit, just in the sense that they're really playing on that angle that Mark and Jay's dad was beat up by Chris Hero. And so they thought with Father's Day and everything like that, but nope, they gave Kings of Wrestling win and retain. No sign of Mr. Briscoe in Canada. So a great match from both teams. They then got ready for the main event. One thing they had done throughout the show, and you've seen this before, where they interview fans and they interview other wrestlers as to who's going to win. And it went back and forth. I liked it. So you had some heel wrestlers saying that Tyler would win, and some baby faces saying Richards would win, and then what you would normally expect. I don't necessarily think you need to interview the fans, because not always necessarily the best representation based on who they get for these interviews, but the stuff with the wrestlers I like. But this one, ladies and gentlemen, was a treat, and I don't say that too often, but you had, in the seventh match of the evening, Tyler Black defeating Davey Richards to retain the ROH World Championship in 34 minutes and 44 seconds. Yeah, you heard that correctly. And like I said earlier with Daniels versus Kenny Omega, they went about half this time, a little bit less than half, actually, and they went full pace and full-blown the whole time. This one was no different. You had Davey Richards is, I mean, let's face it, he's one of a kind. And he brought it very early. Tyler was kind of on the receiving things of him pretty early, but he came back. And this was, it wasn't just a, I mean, it ended up being this later, but it wasn't just a, one of those matches where everybody's hitting their finisher. Kind of like a, I don't know, WWE Fatal 4-Way, where, or one of those women's matches where everybody just comes in, hits their finisher, and then they turn around and take another finisher, and then that person turns around. Now, this one was a game of anything you can do, I can do better. And then taking it a step further than that, it was, what in the hell do I have to do to defeat you? And so it wasn't like, I'm just going to do my finisher and you're going to kick out of it. It's, I'm desperate to get the win here because I have no idea what else I can do for you to stay down for three. That's kind of what happened here with both guys. At points during this match, you thought, well, this has to be it. Tyler's going to win this thing. There was a point kind of in like late in the second half of this match where Davey had, and this is for the second time, but he had a Texas Clover Leaf applied to Tyler Black, and he pulled him, as Tyler was getting to the ropes, Davey pulled him back out to the middle of the ring, and then some, about three times. And I thought, well, he's got to tap out here, and it just didn't happen. And then you realized, wow, these guys, I mean, it was probably about the 20-minute mark, I'm thinking, this thing's got to be over soon. And then they went another 15 minutes. And it was, I mean, they didn't slow this thing down at all. I mean, sure, there were spots where the guys were on the floor. Davey Richards sells, I think, better than anybody in the entire company. But there were some floor spots where, and there was one where Davey barely got back into the ring before the count of 20. But I don't consider those rest spots. I consider those selling what had taken place earlier in the match. And so those kind of spots are every bit as effective as a bunch of moves too, because the moves don't mean anything if they don't have an effect on your opponent. So, just amazing stuff. And actually the last, I want to say 10 to 12 minutes, I couldn't even switch over to my page to type anything because it was going so fast and there were so many near falls and each near fall was believable. And I loved it because, like I said earlier, each guy was pulling out all the stops. They were hitting their finishers. They were hitting their secondary finishers, ones you don't necessarily see as often. And the other guy just wouldn't stay down. There was a spot where Davey, I can't remember if Tyler had just broken out of a submission or if he had kicked out, but Davey just yelled at him, why don't you just stay down and die? Or something like that. Just die already, Tyler. And then there was another spot where Davey, I think it was when he got back into the ring at the count of 19, when he was out on the floor, and Tyler looked at the referee and asked him to stop the match. because he didn't want to do any more damage to Davey Richards. And at that point, Davey was, he was great here, in that you would have thought he's done, he's got nothing left. And then it went another 10 minutes after that, where he had several near falls, and with the submission hold, he almost won, and just unbelievable stuff back and forth. And the debate's going to start or whatnot, but I'll be 100% clear about this. This, so far in 2010, is your match of the year. And everybody's going to say, oh, what about Taker versus Shawn at Mania 26? That one is 1A or number 2 or whatnot. But I think this one distinctly is better than that one. I mean, it's hard to judge because, or it's hard to judge a match against another match because you have to look at, you have to look at more things than just the match. You have to look at the atmosphere. You have to look at what's at stake. You have to look at the crowd, the announcing, this, that, just every little thing. But I thought this one was, I mean, this was an ROH show. Obviously, it's not going to be in front of 75,000 people, but the atmosphere was fantastic. The crowd was hot. You had, and Davey as the challenger here, you had somebody that people were ready to see become the new world champion. You had Tyler Black, who was, he's the babyface, getting booed. And a lot of people think, and a couple of things that I've read, but that Tyler won over the crowd tonight in Toronto. And honestly, the crowd's tough, don't get me wrong. And ROH fans, they appreciate what they appreciate, and you got to give them credit for that. But the hatred for Tyler Black, I don't think it's John Cena-like hatred or anything like that. I just think you have Tyler Black and you have Davey Richards. And if you ask 10 people, 7 or 8 of them are going to say, well, Davey's better. Davey should be champion or something like that. I think that was the consensus of things. But afterwards, it was just, it would have been difficult. And, I mean, I don't know, I guess you really couldn't be a wrestling fan if you didn't at least appreciate what Tyler brought to the table tonight. But this crowd was classy afterwards, not so much towards Tyler at the beginning of the match, but afterwards, anyway, I'm sorry, let's get to the finish first. I mean, there were so many near falls that to go through them all would take another hour, but Tyler hit a small package pile driver, but he hit it for about the third time. I think Davey kicked out of it twice, and it was at least once, and for some reason I want to say it was twice. But he hit it at the end there, got the win. But that was after, with Davey on his knees, Tyler hit that thrust kick, and he hit that about three times, too, during just this last sequence. So Davey took an absolute beating. Tyler did the same, but Tyler got the win. And one thing, you got to give Tyler credit here, too, because it was, and I mentioned this in my report, but in the, let's just say, about the 16 to 20 minute range of this match, if it would have ended there, you could have, it would have been referred as a great match, the best match on this show, and one of the, you know, better to best matches in ROH this year, if it would have ended at that point. But also at that point, the crowd in Toronto did not want to see Tyler win this thing. They wanted Davey to win. They wanted Davey to win the title, and they wanted to see him with that belt at the end of the night. And within the next 15 minutes, Tyler, afterwards, the reaction to him was more of respect as opposed to sheer joy. But one thing he did do was he made it okay with the crowd that he retained and Davey didn't win. And that's, you talk about quote unquote winning a crowd over. I think sending them home happy as opposed to disappointed in a matter of 15 minutes, that's a pretty big deal. So, major ups to Tyler, major ups to Davey Richards. Afterwards, it was great because the announcers took off their headsets and you heard people talking conversationally, and Tyler was on his feet but struggling, and then Davey still selling like a champ. I mean, he made Tyler look like $1 million just in the post-match stuff. But he struggled around, had trouble getting to his feet. Eddie Edwards finally came out to help him up, and Davey grabbed a microphone. Eddie was behind him, kind of keeping him upright. And I didn't hear what he said. I wrote in my report, "Damn, you are a champion." Somebody emailed me, and I appreciate that. Thank you. And said that he said, "Now you are a champion." And that makes more sense. So Davey just, he never shook the hand of Tyler Black, both before the match and after the match, but he just said, "Now you are a champion." He immediately turned away, rolled out of the ring, and was, with Eddie Edwards' help, stood up there at ringside because Tyler had something to say. He said, "I didn't know how things were going to go, especially at the end there, but Davey, my friend, thank you, thank you." And the fans loved it. Big-time fan chants after the match. You heard, "Please don't leave" at Davey Richards, based on what he said about retiring later this year. You had, "Thank you both." "Thank you." I mean, that says it all. I mean, how often do fans start a chant just thanking both competitors for what they did? Of course, there was a lot of "this is awesome" and stuff like that, but ROH crowds say that too much. But this one, it truly was. And you have, it's June 20th, so you have your match of the year thus far of 2010, Davey Richards versus Tyler Black. And if you didn't see it, if you're just listening to this and hearing about the show for the first time, like I said, don't do this often, but at least take a look at that match. And if you're into hardcore matches, take a look at the Tag Team Championship match. So, all in all, just a damn good internet pay-per-view from ROH. Good product. There was one glitch where I think during the gauntlet match it kind of cut out for about 5 or 6 minutes tops. It wasn't any longer than that. But other than that, the production was just fine. And luckily that didn't happen during Tyler's match, because that would have been disappointing. So gave us the match of the year so far, in my opinion. And like I said, if you didn't see it, make sure you do. And for $14.95, I mean, that's a pretty good bargain, I guess, in terms of professional wrestling pay-per-view. So, great night for ROH. Great night for Court McGee coming to UFC Ultimate Fighter. He had SmackDown on Friday. And Fatal 4-Way now in about 12 hours. So, for those of you listening for the first time, just want to say welcome. And thank you for listening and following along. And real quick, if you're listening to this and you're not a member and wrestling audio is your thing, then ProWrestling.net is your remedy. So we have, starting with Sunday night, Jason Powell and I will be covering the pay-per-view on the website. And then for members only, we'll have a separate audio show recaps of the pay-per-view. And then we'll repeat that again on Monday for Raw. On Wednesday, I'll be back for part one of the members exclusive Q&A, which is members asking me questions and me answering them. And then Thursday is the .NET Weekly audio show, in which Jason and I talk about the big news of the week in professional wrestling and other, in MMA and stuff like that. And then Friday, Jason comes back for part two of that Q&A audio. So the same thing I do on Wednesday, but it's Jason answering your member questions on Friday. So head over to the website to check out that information about membership. And other than that, I thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the pay-per-view today, and have a great Father's Day.